Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to Jesus wherever you're standing or seated. Lift your hands. Just lift your hands to Him. And just acknowledge His presence over you. Jesus, I've come to meet with you. I've come to hear from you. I've come to be touched by you. This is not a show. This is not a show. Talk to the Lord God and say, Jesus, my expectation is high. I want you to reach out to me and help me. I want you to revive my heart. I want you to make me all that you want me to be. Let this moment count, oh God. Let this moment count, oh God. Help me, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Please be seated. And while we have a seat, let's appreciate our wonderful chaplain, Reverend David. Come on, do that louder and better, louder and better, louder and better. Hallelujah. We want to appreciate the leadership of this wonderful house for permitting my presence. Reverend David said I was here about 11 months, 3 weeks ago. I think first week in November 2021. That was the last time I was here. I have a very short moment to share the burdens of God with you. I will appeal to you and beseech you by the mercies of God to pay as much attention as possible so that we can maximize the short moment that we have. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. There is a phrase in that verse that is the emphasis of my teaching. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Can we say that together? Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. One more time. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I will be speaking on spiritual fervency. Spiritual fervency. Now, for a start, I want to make it clear, very clear, that there is a way Christianity has been designed to operate. There's a texture that the Christian life is designed to run by. There is a temperature that is supposed to accompany the Christian faith. There are certain things about the Christian life that is normal. However, if we do not operate Christianity in certain temperatures, the normal things about the Christian life will be missing. If you read your Bible, and I'm sure you do, you might see a few things that would shock you or startle you. For instance, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, it says that these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. Somebody will say, well, there are many Christians who have been poisoned. How come this scripture is saying that whoever believes in Jesus, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them? There are many Christians running away from demons, running away from village witches. How come this scripture is saying that in my name shall cast out devils? Now, the realities of scriptures will not become your reality if you do not operate Christianity in the temperature that is recommended. Are you listening to me? You cannot run Christianity how you like it and say, I'm a Christian, no, but I know they carry Jesus on my head. I go to church. And you expect the realities of scriptures to be your reality. It won't work like that. So you have to ask, what is the temperature? What is the ideal setting? What is the default setting for the Christian life? Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. The Bible says, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus. And great grace was on them all. Great power, great grace. Now, if that is not your experience, it's not because God is a liar. It's not because the Bible is not true. It's that you are not operating the Christian life in the recommended temperature. There are many strange things happening in the body of Christ today.
Everybody claims to be a Christian. We all go to church. We all have a Bible and farms with Jesus. But when you check the reality of the scriptures as to what a Christian life should be like, you hardly see anything that is close to it. If you read the exploits of the early church in Acts of the Apostles and compare it with what we call revival today, you will see that the difference is clear. The difference is very, very clear. Some of the things that we celebrate as signs and wonders in our generation is nothing in those days. Nothing. It is not even worth a testimony. The Bible speaks about signs and wonders following the apostles. We're not talking about somebody having visa to Canada here. We're talking about incredible things. Things that can only be done by the finger of God. And yet that was their normal life. The supernatural was their natural mode. We have to begin to investigate and say, what is wrong with us? Why are we not having the same results that the apostles had? I don't believe that we received a different Jesus, although for some of us, we have to really examine if we haven't born again. That's the truth. You might have been in church all your life, but this is a soul-searching moment. But the point is this, we are probably not operating the way they did it. We are doing it in our own way. You know, we have modernized everything. We have a modern version of Jesus, a modern version of church, a modern version of Christianity, a modern version of God. We have a woke God who understands. He too, just see. He knows what's up. So we cannot get the same results because we have dropped the standards so greatly. I think it was the psalmist that was complaining in Psalm 74 and verse 9, thereabouts. He says, we see not our signs, and there is no prophet amongst us, and nobody knows how long it will take. There are signs that are supposed to follow us as believers. Things that are supposed to be normal with us. But if we don't operate Christianity with the temperature that is recommended, we will not see it. Now, let me give you a very simple example. If you are taking ice cream, it is best served chilled. Is that not so? Come on. Okay, we don't take ice cream here. Now, Zobo. Okay, Zobo. If not, so that one you know, no problem. If you want to serve ice cream and somebody says, put it inside microwave, make the thing the boil. How you go drink it now, my brother? There's a temperature befitting of ice cream. Is that not so? It is a cold temperature. Now, if you are served amala and somebody says, put it inside freezer, make the thing the block. You will not go feed chopam. There is a temperature befitting of amala. Except you are not a Nigerian and you don't eat amala. If you serve amala cold in the Western world, they may say, it's quite interesting. But if you see it, you say, what sight is this? Everything has its ideal temperature. Are you listening to me? There are certain functions in your body that requires a particular specific temperature or temperature range to continue working. If you change that temperature range, then you begin to have malfunctionings. You begin to have abnormalities. There is much malfunctioning in the body of Christ because we do not understand this principle of the ideal temperature of the Christian life. For most of us, for many of us, myself inclusive, our state is described in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. Jesus says, I know your works, that you are neither hot or cold. You are lukewarm. I would have preferred that you are either hot or cold. I would know exactly where you stand, but you have chosen a place of indifference, of passivity, of neutrality. You are lukewarm. And then Jesus says, I will spew you out of my mouth. That is not just a threat. It's an expression of the disgust and irritation that God has towards lukewarmness and coldness. That's why we are discussing about spiritual fervency. Is it not amazing that the thing that Jesus said he would throw away from his mouth is what many of us are comfortable with? We have made it our own and we want him to adjust. Now, clearly you see that Jesus will not adjust to your lukewarmness. He will not adjust to your coldness. You are the one that will have to repent according to Revelation 3 and verse 19. You will repent, you will be zealous. You will have to repent. To expect God to adjust and say, that's the way things are now, Jare, we are in year 2022. God understands.
No.
For most of us, for many of us, our heart is cold, our heart is lukewarm. And it's a big problem. It's a big problem. And we must begin to challenge ourselves. If we are going to experience authentic Christianity, the ideal Christian life, the normal Christian life, we have to go back to spiritual fervency. Romans 12:11, where we read it earlier, I said, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. The word fervent is a temperature term. To understand it better, let me quote 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 in describing the destruction of the earth by the heat of God. Peter says that the elements and the heavens will melt with fervent heat. So the word fervent or fervency is talking about hotness. To be hot for Jesus. Many of us cannot really say. Now, we may claim. We may pretend. Because many of us do not understand what it means to be fervent. In these days of WhatsApp status, you can put fire emoji on your status. And everybody says he's a very hot brother. Oh, I'll go, no go. Look at him. Maybe when doing prayer, you can be speaking in sulfuric acidic tongues. Say, hey! Look at how he's sounding like a machine. Listen to me. There's much of fervency than many of those displays. And you may not understand now, in your youthful days, you will soon be tested. You will soon be tested. To be fervent means to be zealous. To be passionate for Jesus. This is something we are not emphasizing enough. Something we cannot overstress here. Many young people are passionate for several things except Jesus. A young brother says, you see me, I'm a very gentle brother. When I'm talking to God, I just, hello God, what's up with you? How is heaven? Thank you. Plus Jesus minus Satan, amen. And then you ask him, why do you talk about that? He said, I'm a very gentleman. That's how we are in our family. A gentleman. And then one day, there is a football match between Chelsea and Manchester United. 22 half-naked men running about a leather ball. And then a leather ball passes a line. And then this young brother begins to shout, yeah, go! Wah! Now, what happened to the brother? His fervent in football is cold towards God. That's the truth. A young lady may say, well, I'm a gentle girl. I'm a tush girl. Just because I'm screaming loud tech does not mean that, you know, I'm a very gentle meek girl. I don't shout. I don't, you know, I'm a very easygoing person. But in the day when she is with her own idol, you see her begin to manifest. Everybody is fervent towards something. Everybody. The question is, are you fervent towards Jesus? Are you fervent towards God? Are you fervent towards the kingdom? You know, our heart is very deep and sometimes very deceitful. Fervency is best examined from your heart, not your mouth. Matthew 15:8, these people draw close to me with their mouth, but their heart is far. Anybody can hold microphone. Anybody can seemingly lift up holy hands. And the day God begins to mark your script, he checks your heart. Does your heart beat after Jesus? Come on. I know you are a student, but how many times does the thought of God cross your mind? Does your heart pant after Jesus? Does Jesus have your attention? Does he have your affection? When last did you shed a tear for the sake of the cross? You have shed a tear for many movies. Oh, so touching. Is that not so? When last did you shed a tear for the sake of the one who died for you? For the sake of the state of the church, do you still show any emotion? Some of us, our heart is hard. Abba! We may claim to be fervent, but if God checks, he says, I know your works. You are lukewarm. Ice water, tuture. You are lukewarm. You are lukewarm. This is not the passion that I expect from my people. Titus 2:14. Jesus redeemed us from iniquity so that we might be a people zealous unto good works. The word zealous is passionate, enthusiastic. To be fervent, our hearts must burn again for Jesus. This is the only way we are going to survive the onslaught of the present time. Are you listening to me? In case you need a motivation for fervency, let me tell you. Satan is not impressed by anything that is not the fire of God. Nothing scares the devil. Nothing would push back the darkness except the fire of God. Except the passion that you have for Jesus. Except a zeal in your soul for the kingdom. For most of us, we are just doing the cycle of religion. And you see, Satan likes it like that. He likes it when you play games. But he knows, Satan knows he has a thermometer he used to measure. And there are people he will never come close to. There are people he cannot come close to. Even if he wants to, he cannot. He may try, but they will be too hot to handle. And there will be other people. Now, if you take food, you cook it, it is hot. At the state when it is hot, germs and microbacteria cannot really work on it. Is that not so? Are we still together? So the microbes wait for some heat to fizzle out. They wait for some lukewarmness to set in. And then they begin to attack the food. The two extreme temperatures will not be able to facilitate the operations of bacteria. If it is extremely cold or if it's extremely hot. But as long as that food is lukewarm, it's in a state that can be altered. And a delicious pot of soup that might have cost you 13.5 to cook. If you do not warm it, or in this case, freeze it, you can see that maggots will begin to come out of it. The reason why there are maggots in the life of many Christians is because they are not hot enough. Strange things. Demons pressing Christians in their dreams. With all your sulfuric tongue. Strange things. It's not supposed to be Christians who cannot go to their village because of village people. It's not supposed to be demonic cycles and oppressions of darkness. It's not supposed to be. Now the problem is not that you don't have the scriptures of the Holy Ghost or Jesus. You are not in a temperature that is ideal for the full expression of the Christian life. Eternal life can be underutilized. You can waste it. You can manage it. Or you can maximize it. Jesus, when he was on the earth, there were certain things he did. Not because not doing them would mean that he's no more the Son of God. But he knew that to be Son of God is not enough. I must be in a particular temperature range. So he fasted. So he prayed. So he read the scriptures. Why? Because if he didn't do all of that, even though the tag, Son of God, will be intact. But the Pharisees will have destroyed him from day one. Are you listening to me? You must raise your temperature to survive. This one you are doing here, this ice water Christianity, it won't last you anywhere. And some of you are still surviving on the strength of the prayers of your parents, your grandmother, your big auntie. That thing will soon fizzle out. You will have to contend for your own personal temperature. Some of you are still working with Aunt Johnny anointing. There will be a day when what you receive collectively will not be enough to sustain you. You will have to learn how to nurture and cultivate your personal fire. Your pastor's covering will not be enough. I'm telling you, there will be a day. You will be alone. There was a day Peter was alone. A little girl said, "Are you not the disciple of Jesus?" He said, "Wallahi ta'ala, I don't know him. Never see him before, never hear him before." Ah, the lady said, "The way you are talking, sir, you are talking like him." He said, "No, I said I've never seen him before." In that day, his master's fervency was not enough. Are you listening to me? You must cultivate personal fire. And that's what I want to teach you this morning. But this issue of fervency is best measured from the heart. James 5 and verse 16 in the King James says the effectual prayer or the prayer of a righteous man produces tremendous power. The Amplified says produces tremendous power. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man. It says the effectual fervent heartfelt prayer. Yeah, that's the way the Amplified, I think, puts it. Effectual fervent heartfelt prayer. Now, listen, many of us are doing many things, but it is not fervent because it does not stem from the heart. You can walk in church, walk in fellowship, walk in chapel. If it's not from the heart, it's not called fervent. You can sing. You can sing with your mouth. You can lift your hands. Any activity, any operation that is not from the heart, is not heartfelt. So in measuring fervency, check your heart. I've told you and I've asked you earlier, how much attention do you give to God? People can come to church with their legs, but their heart may be far. People may play lip service to the preacher and say, that's the word, took me word, right on, Papa. But their heart may be far. Your heart must beat for God. And one of the simplest ways you can know that is if you have what I call the jealousy of God. The jealousy of God. Your heart. Christianity is not just a set of rules. It's not even a set of rules. It's not a religious routine thing. It's an organic thing. It's alive. I know that I'm heartfelt in love with my wife. Not just because one day I said I do. But anything that hurts her, hurts me too. I am jealous over her. If you take selfie with her, I will say, brother, but in my heart I will say, why you not take with me now? You won't talk to her, no fine. When there is no jealousy again in your walk with God, you are cold. You are lukewarm. You are indifferent. You are passive. To be fervent would mean that you are serious. You have the jealousy of God. Every man who operated in the fire of God, you see this mark there, the jealousy of God. Elijah was such a man. In the day when he was going to give up and he was asked, his testimony was, I'm the only one jealous for the Lord. I'm the only one. Now, of course, God told him, no, you're not the only one. I have 7,000 other guys. But that jealousy was what allowed fire to fall from heaven. It's a test of your fervency. Are you at all bothered? Now, I know that you are bothered about Asu and Asun. You are bothered about Nigeria. You are bothered about your stomach and your family. But are you bothered about the church? Are you bothered about the kingdom of God? Are you bothered about the household of faith? Have you read the news of recent and seen the moral decadence even amongst the spiritual elite and wept and said, what is happening? When Elijah was angry in 1 Kings chapter 17 and he said there will be no rain, it's not because they did not give him honorarium. What happened? He saw that they were given to idolatry. They worshiped Baal and his heart broke down. What have you seen of recent that has made you close down your room, close down your phone, and just weep before the Lord because you are jealous for him? I know that if Chelsea lose a match, you will not eat for 2 days. You are jealous for people who don't know you. You enter depression because the movie did not end well. I'm saying to you now that the one who died for you, will you show any bit of jealousy for his sake? Every time I watch a football match and I see the captain wear an LGBT armband, I'm jealous for my God. Why not they bring homosexuality come to this place again? The other day they asked a particular football team to wear a jersey that was going to be imprinted with LGBT decorations, and the Muslim said, I will not do it. I heard it and I wept. I said, why was he not a Christian? They said, do you know that if you don't do it, that is, it is hate speech and that we may cancel your contract? He said, I will not do it. A Muslim. I said, hey, where were the Christians? The Christian said, it no matter. God see my heart. And God sees your heart actually. And he sees that you are deceiving yourself. He's suspending him for 3 weeks. He said, no problem. If you like, don't pay me money. I said, oh, a Muslim? What was the Christian doing? You see, are you jealous for God? Are you jealous for God? The world is evolving very quickly. And sometimes all God needs is one man like Elijah who is jealous. As one man. Is anybody jealous for me? There are many people who pray. There are many people doing activities. But is anybody really jealous for me? Does anybody have my kingdom in their heart as their priority? One jealous man can call down fire from heaven. One jealous man can ignite the Bible. One jealous man. The problem is that we claim to be Jews, people of God, Christians. But there is no trace of jealousy. And it's because we are lukewarm. We are cold. We are passive. Fervency is measured also by dedication. Intense dedication towards the things of God. Intense dedication. Is your dedication intense? For some of us, our dedication is a one naira dedication. If somebody gives you one naira, you will stop serving Jesus. And you heard me right, one naira. Is that cheap? Is that shallow? There is no depth in dedication. It's a dedication of convenience. When it stresses you, you don't put your heart into it. When it's easy, then you do it. To be fervent means to be dedicated. It means to be extreme, to be radical. Let me emphasize this radicality issue. Passive Christians will not make it. And when I say make it, I don't mean that they will not blow or hammer. I mean that they won't be able to endure to the end. They will drop down in the race. In the jungle of life, it is the radical that will survive. You have to be radical like the apostles who could lay down their life. You could not threaten Peter not to preach again. You could not. What do you want to tell Peter? No! The fervency had boiled to a point where they did not count their lives anymore as anything. Is there any problem? They told them, don't preach again in this Jesus name. Don't preach again. They said, we ought rather to obey God than man. We have seen it. We saw him rise from the dead. How can we keep quiet? Your fervency must come to a point where your dedication cannot be threatened. Are you listening to me? Some of the things we are calling revival. I told our church the other day. I said, the revival that we are celebrating, one small rain will cut the revival. Rain. That somebody will say, the reason it's not coming to church, that it was drizzling. And that you could no longer make it to a date with God. You see, it's not. That's why you now hear, we are the church. Church is not a building. I am the church. Begin to hear this kind of funny things. Because most of our commitment has not been tested. It has not been tested. See, if you have external motivations, don't think you are fervent. You have a chapel here that affords you the experience of mingling your voice with other saints. You will finish school and go to NYC. You will be in a village where there is no single church. Will you still read Bible? Will you still do devotion? Nobody will ask you. There will be no network to ask that. Did you go to church today? Your fervency must be a personal responsibility. Your dedication to God must not be about other people whining you, checking up on you. Nobody check up on me. There's no love in this church. In the day when the apostles were thrown to prison, they wrote the greatest revelations. Alone in prison, Paul and Silas sang praises to God. An earthquake came and broke their chains. No motivation. Nobody to wake them up and say, let's just begin to thank God. Don't worry. Let's just, in all things, give them. They, out of their own belly, they burst out in praise. No choir, no drum, nothing. You know how much we have to whine you and encourage you and pray for you and fast for you. This is how you are going to continue. In the day the evil day will come, this temperature will not be able to resist the devil. You must up your game. Step up. Everybody say step up. The coldness and lukewarmness you have channeled to politics. Have you seen the way Christians have been campaigning? Christian, whenever, he's not a media person. I only celebrate birthday and the birthday of my wife. In the day when he discovered his political idol, he has been posting 3 times a day. Whether articulated or obedient or batified. I thought you are not a media person. That's where your passion is. That's where your the fervent thing you are investing in things that are worthless, things that have no use in the eternal schemes. Why don't you invest it in Jesus? You are fervent, but it is in the wrong direction. If you sow in the flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow in the spirit, you will reap life everlasting. Put your fervency where it's worth it. Jesus is something to shout about. Are you listening to me? Some of you can barely even respond. Because I'm not doing giveaway. The day money will come knocking, your volume will rise. Mammon has stolen your fervency. You don't respond to anything if money is not involved. How much is it for me? How much will they give me? Does Jesus have your attention? The way money has your attention, does Jesus have your attention like that? Let me progress here because of time. How exactly are you going to be spiritually fervent? This is strange, but I would say it as God has put it in my heart. If you are going to be spiritually fervent, encounter the real Jesus. Encounter the real Jesus. And if you have encountered it before, encounter him again. Every time your temperature drops, you need an encounter with Jesus. I can tell you emphatically, I've been in the church system all my life. Of course, I was born again as a teenager, but I was born into a pastor's house. I've been in the church system all my life. And there are many people who claim to be members of the body of Christ who are just tagging along. In the day when they say, what is the dress code? They will be exposed. In the day when there is a password to access certain treasures, they will be exposed. They are just farming with Jesus. They have not met the Lord. Oh yeah. Listen to me. Jesus is too transforming, too exciting, too wonderful to meet him and still remain cold about him. When some people say they are Christians and they are serving Jesus, I'm tempted to ask, which Jesus? Because the way you are serving this Jesus, maybe it's bad Jesus, or Gabriel Jesus, or Jesus Navas. Apologies to the ladies who may not understand. I'm not speaking tongues. I'm just saying some names in the football world. When the apostles met Jesus, their whole life changed. Acts chapter 4, I think in verse 12 or 13, the Pharisees and the Sadducees looked at them and saw that they have been with Jesus. They noticed they were illiterate and ignorant men, but they noticed what being with Jesus has done to them. Peter met him and abandoned his fishing enterprise. Everybody who met him became passionate. They left everything and followed him. How do you say you meet Jesus and you are still clinging to things that are not valuable and useful? Did you really meet Jesus? Acts chapter 9, Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, met Jesus. He was blind for 3 days from that encounter. As soon as his sight was recovered, he went about preaching. How the synagogues knew him. They said, is this not Saul who once persecuted the church? The change was obvious. It will be obvious if you meet Jesus. I think it was Paul Washer who was describing this concept. And he said, if a trailer jams a man, if the man survives after trailer jamming, there's a way he will survive. So if he comes up from that encounter and he says, trailer just jammed me now, people look at him and say, trailer, be toy car. Say, trailer, real trailer, jam me. He jam, and you'll be like this. Either it was an angelic intervention, or the man is lying. Is that not so? If Jesus jammed you, if you jam Jesus, they go no for your house. You know, some of us are young. Many of us are young. And sometimes your parents mock your faith. So when you say you are going for one convention, they say, go and buy Shinab for me. Now, they are doing that because you have not raised the temperature. In the day that you wake up one morning and say, Daddy, there's something I want to see you for. There's a plot of land you bought 14 years ago. And you didn't tell anybody. They are going to change it and deceive you. Please, get the lawyers quickly. And the man say, what did you say? I say, Daddy, there's a plot of land you bought 14 years ago. You didn't tell anybody, but God told me. You know, when he wakes up the next morning, you say, can we do devotion? Sister Bing, pray for us. Now, because there is a proof that it's not mouth-to-mouth Christianity. Are you listening to me? The reason why anybody may mock your faith, ridicule your faith, you have not stepped up. You have not raised the temperature. When you raise the temperature, who don't like better thing? Your mommy will say, see, I know what it is. I know what it is. For my mother to kneel down and say, pray for me. And I say, mother, you cannot kneel down. And she say, no. You are the anointed one here. It's not because you don't have gray hair. It's because you have not raised the temperature. Are you listening to me? Don't be angry at them for mocking your faith. Be angry at yourself. That you are lukewarm. You are cold. Look at Jesus' mother now. There was a need for wine. She ran to her son. Say, wine, don't finish. Jesus said, it's not my time. Don't trouble me. She told the disciples, whatever he tells you to do, do. She knew the capacity of her son. She knew he was able to deliver. If you up your game, many of us are demarcating Christianity by our lukewarmness. People cannot come to the light because we are cold. You speak about anything with a passion in your eyes. I know what it is to be a football fanatic. In the day that I argue for my team on my street, my voice will crack. And nobody there comes to challenge me. Even if we lose 7-0, I will still prove he's the best team in the world. I was that good a lawyer for 22 half-naked men who don't know me. If people see the passion in your eyes, hear the passion in your voice, when you talk about any other thing, some Christians, their passion is Big Brother Nigeria. Have you seen Shimru? Have you seen Kino? Have you seen names that we are wondering, what is that? Is the people in the Big Brother house? Okay. You know their names. Do you know the names of the apostles of Jesus? Can you open to the book of Nahum? I saw in the news that the winner of the last BlackBerry Nigeria is opening a strippers club. And when I saw the news, I said, hey, the blood of some Christians, because they voted for her, they even used their money. Hi. And in the day that a strippers club is opened, and the god of sexual immorality is endorsed and enforced in society, Christians too will be found one. They will be found guilty of helping Satan build hell. See, it's just a show. It's just a show, huh? Oh, really? It's just a show, huh? And some Christians are even praying that they should go there. Let them go there and make a change. Eh? Go to Sudan. Go to Afghanistan and make it. There are people there. Why must it be TV? That's not kingdom. You think God uses all those methods to do what? If you want to be fervent, encounter the real Jesus. There's a wicked Jesus flying about, very popular. He's not angry at sin. He sells ice cream. He gives ice cream. Come and take ice cream. Ice cream. Come as you are. Remain as you are. No problem. Ice cream. Just take ice cream. Make them happy. Make them happy. That's not Jesus. They say he was a friend of sinners. They said. Was he really a friend of sinners? Every sinner that came to him, were they not transformed? You have been friends of sinners for how many years? How many of them have changed? A walking Jesus. And that's the Jesus some people have encountered. He cannot transform. He cannot save from sin. He cannot save from anything. He's just fine. He has a long hair. He does like this. Giving ice cream. Is that what you believed in? Where is the transformation? Where is the radicality that should follow a believer? Where is it? In those days when people got saved, ask your parents, ask your grandparents. When somebody becomes saved, everybody knows. Say, oh, did they born again? Okay. There are some parties they will never invite him for. If they try it, they will be in trouble. Because if he goes there and he says, praise the Lord, anointing go fall, everywhere goes scatter. Once you are born again, these days people are born again. They still invite them to dine with the devil. There is no radicality that follows their faith. Encounter, the real Jesus will change your life. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things will pass away, certainly. All things will be new. Certainly. I look around and I see how there's little passion for Jesus. And I'm somebody who tries to be passionate in everything I do. If I preach, I preach with the passion of my soul. If I play, I play with the passion of my soul. If I fight, I fight with the passion of my soul. I do not like lukewarmness for anything. So when I see passiveness and lukewarmness on the greatest thing in the world, the Christian faith, I am infuriated. What is this? Is Jesus not worth shouting about? What is this? What is this? How come we talk about everything except him? Unbelievers will not believe there's a hell. Our life does not suggest there's hell. Oh, come on. One of my sisters in the United States shared on her WhatsApp status how Jesus is the only way to heaven. And it was Christians that were telling her, this is not the right thing to say. Drop this post down. Ah. So she said, I don't understand. Is Jesus not the only way to heaven? Am I the one that said it? Didn't you say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No one can come to the Father except by me. Now we have collabo anointing. If the Jesus, now please listen, if you are here and you don't believe that Jesus is the only way, I did not say it's a way, the only way to God, the only way to heaven, you have not met Jesus. You have not. And I'm sorry to embarrass you, you have not met Jesus. It's not a sentimental thing. Are you trying to say that other people? Well, I'm not trying to say. The Bible says, it's Jesus himself that said it. No one can come to the Father except. Many of us have probably understood the gospel. Yeah. That's why we are passive. That's why unbelievers are our best friends. You don't know the different world that you are in when you come into Christ. You don't know the implication of bearing the name Christian. You don't know. You just think that you wear a scarf. Why do they wear a hijab? There is a totally different, you are demarcated. And now, please know this. You won't preach the gospel if you are not fervent. Because what's at stake now? There's nothing at stake. While we are not reaching the lost, we are not fervent. While we are producing more kingdom financiers than missionaries, it's because we are lukewarm. And yes, if you want to be a kingdom financier here, I'm not against you. But I'm saying, how come it is in our generation we are having more kingdom financiers than missionaries? Why is it that nobody wants to be a missionary, but everybody wants to be a kingdom financier? Is it not that money has stolen our fervency? When last was anybody called to a rural place? How come everybody is called to Lagos and Abuja, Canada and United States? We are doing many things, but we are not doing the things that God sent us. Because we are cold. We are lukewarm. We are passive. My brethren, you will not survive like this. You must be on fire. You must be on fire. And that's why many people are backsliding. Because they did not meet the real Jesus. You take a sample of why people backslided and it will shock you. Brother Tunde, the choir director promised to marry me.
And then suddenly says that he's not doing it again. Where was God? I'm no more coming to church. We did not meet Jesus. To betray Jesus for Brother Tunde. You did not meet Jesus. No, you did not meet Jesus. The wonder of Jesus, the glory of Jesus, the spectacle of Jesus, to trade all of that because Brother Tunde left you alone. Encounter the real Jesus. And when I say encounter, I don't mean that you have spectacular experiences into the third heaven. That may happen. But one of the simple ways you can encounter the real Jesus is by the Word. By the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. For many of us, our lukewarmness is traced to our ignorance. We seem excited. We can komole for Jesus. We're very excited bunch of folks. But many of us are very ignorant. One argument from an atheist, your faith will begin to shake. An atheist, just one Twitter argument with you, you will say, not true. because all the right of pastor, that's the word. Hey, come on for Jesus. He's with empty heart, empty head. There is no substance of the word. Jeremiah 23 verse 29. Is my word not like fire? Is my word not like fire? When there is no sufficient understanding of scriptures, your heart will be lukewarm, cold. Luke chapter 24. It was Jesus speaking to these guys who were his disciples. And he broke bread with them, taught them the scriptures. It should be in verse 30 to 32 thereabouts. The Bible says that when they finally recognized him, they said, did not our hearts burn when he spoke to us? Many hearts are freezing. They are not burning because there's no opening of scriptures. This generation has no excuse to be ignorant about the word. Yet, the ignorance is colossal. Colossal. Are you still listening to me? You want to encounter the real Jesus? Go and read your Bible. Go and read your Bible. Bible study is no longer a culture of the modern church. And there are very few churches who still do Bible studies. Sunday school has been obliterated from the programs of most of our fast food churches. Fast food programs. We have to run 6 services. An hour each. There's enough time to sing and dance, enough time for testimony, but there's not enough time to open the scriptures. And so we have a lukewarm generation. Very lousy. Very excited, but very cold. A frozen daddy freeze generation. Frozen. Frozen. No heat. No fire. Encounter the real Jesus by the word. You see, there is no revival without a return to the word, to the scriptures. Every time a revival happened, people loved the Bible. To say we are a revival because we invited the latest gospel celebrity singer and everybody raised their phone and we commoded for Jesus. We don't know what we are talking about. And after they drop that phone, they go back to their idols. They go back to what they are fervent at. The scriptures must come alive again in our generation. We must value the Bible. That's how to gather it. That's how to be fervent. That's how to burn for Jesus. There is no fervency without the word. Now, for those of us who have encountered the real Jesus, but we have forgotten. And forgetting is a possibility. Israel forgot. In 1 Kings chapter 18, when Elijah was to call down fire from heaven, the people had forgotten. For Israel to be serving Baal, they had forgotten. Is it not the same God that parted the Red Sea? Is it not the same God that sent manna from heaven? They had forgotten. Is it not the same God that ensured that their clothes and their shoes did not get old while they walked through the wilderness? They had forgotten. So in the day that you forget, you will need to experience
a fire, a fresh fire. And Elijah will have to orchestrate an event to make your heart burn again. So Elijah asked the people of Israel, why are you turning between two opinions? Why are you saying we don't know whether we should serve Baal, whether we should serve Jehovah? And for many of you, you are turning between two opinions here. You are not sure whether this Jesus is worth your energy. Some of you, your parents still gave you terms to come to school with. They still took you to a place, a man who put some babalawo skills together. And you took it. You brought it to church. You brought it to church. You are still torn between two opinions. You say things like, we are all serving the same God. You are still torn between two opinions. You must catch the fire. When the fire comes, the line will be clear. Okay. The day Elijah called down fire, Israel said, hey, truly, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. God told me here that there are people, as I'm talking now, they have contraceptives that they intend to use this night. So, it's just to encourage you. Because there are two things that will happen. When the fire comes, it will either consume you or refine you. And the day when Elijah called down fire, he did not ask the people's permission. In fact, he made it difficult. He said, pour water. Pour water. So that you will not think it's a fluke. He said, pour another water. Pour another bucket. Listen. The problem is not the wrong we do. The problem is attempting to insult the intelligence of God. That's what is irritating. Elijah said, stop it. Stop all these games. On Sunday morning and Sunday evening, it is Domwen and Bethel music. On Monday morning, we switch to the other one. Stop all these games. Now, when fire comes, your heart posture will determine what it will do to you. Listen to me. Fire is not just a function of personal revival. It's also a function of judgment in the body. So, it is good to nurture fervency in purity and holiness and right living. So that in the day that is called the evil day, whether the enemy comes at you or your cup is full, you will not be a victim to lukewarmness, to passivity, to standing in the middle. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. There's no need for games anymore. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. That's what we're doing. Everybody should align, adjust. Because the time is short. If God depends on a generation but want to play games with him, you say, no. Let's divide the line. Step up. Upgrade. You have been on the fence for too long. Why don't you choose a path and walk in it and stay with it? And even if it's tough, you stay with it. Is Jesus not worth suffering for? The one who died to save you from sins. A little problem, a little challenge, and you become passive. Let me end my teaching here. I want to talk about, in 5 minutes, how to retain your fervency. Because it's easy to ignite fire. It's difficult to sustain fire. People go to programs. A great apostle is in town. People go there. A great prophet is in town. People go there. They get some sparks of fire, but they don't know how to keep fire. The fire you get this morning, you must learn how to keep it. If not, it goes off tomorrow. There are fire extinguishers all around. Fire is a deliberate thing. There are ones that happen in the natural by accident, but when fire is deliberate, it is controlled. The fire you have in your cooking gas is controlled. It's deliberate. You put it on, you have to maintain that gas if you want it to be on. How do you keep your fervency? How do you keep your fervency? The first thing here is that you have to avoid lukewarm environments. Lukewarm environments. Lukewarm environments are everywhere. It's a very cold world. Matthew 24 verse 12. Iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold. Everywhere you turn, you see ice water. Those of you, for instance, on the media, and you watch Facebook reels, short 1 minute videos, you see people twerking, you see sexual jokes, you see stupid things, and you can watch it for 10 minutes, you will not know. And then when you come out of that encounter, you are ice water. Tuture. You are prayed though. You did vigil Friday. From 10 to 4. And you say, hey, see what's going to happen for internet. And then everything, all the fire you have accumulated. Ice water. Tuture. You have to abstain from lukewarm environments. Abstain. Run away. Hide from them. Avoid them. And they are everywhere. There are places you cannot go, dear Christian, if you are going to keep your fire. If you are going to remain fervent. Let me tell you this, there are jobs you cannot take. When you graduate, there are jobs you cannot take. But the pay is good, and I will be giving my tithe. Away? Do you want to lule? You think you are spiritual? There are some places you will go like this. The first week, you will come out for altar call for rededication. Because the things they will have made you do, then later you will get used to it. You say, what's more now? God understands. You will have to deliberately abstain, avoid certain places. There are some parties you have no business going. What is the temple of the Holy Ghost doing in the temple of Baal? What? What concord? What fellowship does Belial have with Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13 to 16. What fellowship does light with darkness? What agreements does the temple of God with the temple of idols? Something is stealing your fire. Don't pray against it. Run away. Flee fornication. You have a boyfriend. All he wants to do is to ask for sex and ask for naked pictures. You see, I'm praying. You are praying for what? For his salvation? What are you praying? Flee. That's the scriptures. Flee. Don't manage the situation. Don't get used to it. Flee. Run away. Lukewarmness is contagious. If you hang around it, it will consume you. It's a matter of time. It will consume you. You cannot hang around ice and remain fervent. Most times, all the time, in fact, ice always prevails over fire. Most times. Except the fire is so strong, like an inferno. Ice would always prevail. So God says, run away. That does not mean we are going to leave the world. It however means that in situations where we see that we are overwhelmed, flee. Abstain from appearances of evil. Flee. The second thing I want to say here, quickly, don't be conformed to this world. And by this I mean that do not have the philosophy of the present world. The philosophy of the present world is to make it and become successful. Yeah. That's all they want to do. Become famous, become successful. Now, if for you as a Christian, that's all you are living for. If that's all your prayer points, you are confirmed already, actually. So, I'm not saying that I will do bad, though. I just want to make it. I'm saying that if that's all you are living for, you're a waste of space at the temple of the Holy Ghost. All you are living for is what unbelievers is living for. You want to make it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31 to 33. Don't be like the Gentiles. All they seek for is what they will eat, what they will wear, what they will drink. Verse 32, please. After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first. But seek ye first. How you are different from the Gentiles is not because your name is Rachel or Raphael. What are you seeking? If you are not seeking the kingdom, stop saying you are different. You may wear a scarf. You are not different. Not different. It's your heart God is checking. What are you seeking? What are you craving? What are you pursuing after? What are you chasing? Seek ye first the kingdom. That's out of conformity. Don't be conformed to this world. Conformity will make you love the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. All that Satan offered Jesus in the temptation in Matthew 4 is what many Christians are pursuing. The glories of this world. It's what many Christians have turned to prayer, but that's all they're looking for now. Turning stone to bread. The pride of life to be exalted amongst their peers. How is that song sung? To prepare your village people. If this is all you are living for, you are already worldly, very worldly. You are lukewarm, you are carnal. One last thing here. Please be public about your faith. That's how to stay hot for Jesus. Don't keep quiet. And when I say don't keep quiet, I'm not saying snapping picture. I say church was fun. That's not what I'm saying here. Let people know you are a Christian. You know, in this generation, we have an identity problem. If you say you're a Christian, they'll ask you, are you a genuine Christian? If you say, are you a born-again Christian? You say, are you a spirit-filled, born-again, converted Christian? Because everybody says they're Christian now. Everybody says they're Christians. But you know that in the day when the unbeliever runs to trouble, they know who to ask for prayer from. Brother John, please pray for me. Do you know why they have observed Brother John? That all of us claim to be Christians, but Brother John, you will not say in case different. Be public about your faith. Let people know where you stand, and let it be known early. Don't drag your feet. Some of you are waiting for when you are at 60. Say, I will show them. Start now. Start showing them now. If you are ashamed of Jesus, you will lose your fervency. Yeah. Common weddings these days. To attend Christian weddings, so fear they catch me. My sister, what do you wear like this? Come this wedding. If you want to look at them, you have to close your eyes. Sister Deborah. It's not because it's the wedding. You know, the bride said that we should dress like that to honor her. Oh, you can honor the bride, but you cannot honor Jesus, huh? Maybe you don't understand because you are already, your conscience is already associated. In places that used to be opportunities for evangelism, we have totally conformed because we are not public about our faith. But you are ashamed. They will say we know Jassy. Say we'll be old school. Now old school go last though. Old school go last. People wear Jassy. They will enter pit. They will lule. Stand to your feet. Let's pray for a few minutes here. This morning I don't want you to light your own candle. I want you to ask God to send fire into your soul. Don't kindle a spark. Let what you are burning with be something God sent. And you are going to pray that God, send the fire to my soul. I want to burn for you. If you pray, God will answer. If you pray from your heart, not just from your mouth, from your heart, God will answer. Jesus wants to be shown. He wants to be known. He doesn't want to hide.
He doesn't want to hide. Pray, God, send the fire to my soul. I was born for you. I've been burning for football. I want to burn for Jesus. I've been burning for politics. I want to burn for Jesus. I've been burning for the academia world. I want to burn for Jesus. Because Jesus is worth burning for. He's worth it. He's worth the flames of my heart. He's worth the flames of my heart. Come on. If you pray, then he will send fire. Elijah asked God, say, send down fire. I'm not going to light a matches. I'm not going to pretend. You are the one that will send fire. Because only the fire that he sends that will last. If you light your own matches, one breeze of the enemy, it will blow. But when it is a fire from heaven, it will last you through the ages. If you go to Canada, the fire will still burn. If you go to Australia, the fire will still burn. If you go to Zamfara, the fire will still burn. Because it's a fire from heaven. Pray, pray, pray. God, send down your fire to my soul. Send down your fire. Ignite my heart to burn. 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 Come on, come on, come on, come on. Pray with your heart. Oh. Pray with your heart. Oh. Draw close to him with your heart. Some of you are about to enter situations where you are not ready for because you are too cold. And you won't survive if God does not send fire. You won't survive if God does not send fire. Don't go without the fire. See the burning bush before you come to Pharaoh. See the burning bush before you come to Pharaoh. Or else the magicians will make a mess of you. Come and pray. Come and pray. It's for survival. It's for survival. It's a cold world. It's a frozen world. Only the fire of God will keep you alive. Will keep you going. Will keep you strong. In this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. By fire you overcome. By fire you overcome. By fire you overcome. By fire you overcome. Dear Lord, let there be encounters of diverse kinds. Let your fire erupt in the souls of many. Let there be repentance and revival as your people seek your face, oh God. Give them the real thing. Give them the real thing. Show them the real thing. Let their hearts burn again for you. Passion restored. Zeal restored. Let the fire burn. 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 It's a cold world out there. Set yourself ablaze. Set yourself ablaze. Set yourself ablaze in God. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Let it burn, 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 let it burn. Stronger measures of the flames of God. Let my heart burn after Jesus.